I want to welcome everybody. Got a chance to see some friends here who are dropping back in. Not dropping in, they said they're coming back in. I love it, right? It's like they said they went elsewhere, but they came back to the promised land. I like that. So that's kind of my attitude with this. Somebody was asking, my wife asked me as I was getting ready to come here tonight, she goes, why are you not wearing your suit coat tonight? You know, because that's kind of how I dress pretty much every day when I go to work. And I says, no, because I am cold. Right? And the reason I was cold is because I called this morning to CenterPoint because my gas meter, literally it's been years, it's ridiculous, but it's making this clicking sound. And I can hear the gas meter from my bedroom through the wall, stucco wall, and the other side, I can hear this click, 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 and I'm going, and I would just go to sleep and not worry about it. Especially, only in the wintertime, it was kind of a challenge. Summertime it wasn't because there's no gas in it, but in the wintertime, and I'm going, I got used to it. But I finally said, I'm going to call him. So I called him this morning. I've tried for 4 days to try to get him on the telephone, and it sat on hold for 45 minutes. I'm driving to work every morning, whatever, and I couldn't get him to answer. But this morning, they answered. And they said, we will come and fix this thing. It said, now somebody has to be home while we're there. And I said, I'm at office. I'm about to start a meeting. He said, well, why don't you, when you get home, call us. We'll come back and turn it back on. I said, whoa, what do you mean turn it back on? They said, well, they'll turn it off when they switch the meter out and they do the repair work. And then when you get home, they'll come back out and turn it back on. He said, no, never mind. Just blow it off, and I'll call when I get back home. We'll start this. No, sir, since you've made you've raised your voice, we have to come because it sounds like there's a problem. And so for security purposes, we have to do that. And I'm going, but I don't want to do that. And so I rerouted, went back to the house after lunch, and I sat there waiting for them to come in and do their stuff. And it was cold in my house because we had no heat. And then my wife walks in. I was hoping she was going to be out all afternoon with some friends and stuff, but they finished early, so she comes home, right? And she walks in the door, and it's just, so when she was asking me about leaving, she goes, are you going to just be warm? I'm being warm tonight, so I just wanted to throw that on the table because some people would, and Jared would go, are you really prepared tonight? You don't have your coat on. So I was like, that's my attitude. That's it. See, this is what you guys have been missing. You know, because guys, we've been on this journey of the realness of the Holy Spirit. And for those of you who are just kind of stepping back in, the reason why this is so important is because growing up as a little boy, as I shared last week, as I was taught about God. I was in a church family. I was taught about God early on, and for some reason was kind of able to get this concept of it. I was told about Jesus, and growing up in the Catholic Church, I saw Jesus every Sunday. He's hanging up on the cross right there, and so and Christmas time he'd show up in a manger, and so it's like I was able to kind of get my arms around it. But then they would talk about the Holy Ghost. And as a little boy, I'd hear about the Holy Ghost, and that made no sense to me whatsoever. And I've shared before, so what I did was I put them up on a shelf. Just did. Never thought about it. They weren't speaking about them in church on Sunday, so I didn't pick them up there. We never studied it in any type of the classes that I had going through elementary school. Went to a Catholic high school, and so I remember we got this big Bible, had a big Bible. Never really, nothing stuck in my head. And then about 10 years ago, my life changed because of an experience that I had where God said, Mike, it's time. And I want you to know me in a real personal way. And so it started me on this journey of looking at the realness of the Holy Spirit. And so that's where we're spending time studying that now and looking, what does it mean? What does that mean? And so we start the class off this way. We start the class off by asking, you know, about looking at the Holy Spirit. We start the class off by asking, where in the last week, for those of you who were here last week, and if you weren't, but if you can answer the question, did you experience the Holy Spirit in the last week or two in some way, some big way or maybe just some small way? Anybody have something that where you, yeah? To prompt you to pray for somebody? When did the prompting come up?
Just dated, like I was just in the middle of doing stuff at home, and I was just like, pray for this person. And so I knew, like, because it was the middle of something in my mind, when it's engaged, or kind of not so much engaged, just habitual, like,
So what he's saying is, if I don't know if you can hear over there because of the sound, we're going to speak up a little bit because of, but what happens is that he's involved in doing stuff. He's at work and doing things, busy. And then in the middle of doing this, where his mind is focused on this, the next thing you know, there's a prompting. There's something pops up. I need to pray for this person. Kind of out of context of where he is. It's a prompting that takes place. All right. Anybody else? Yes, please. So, you have to speak loudly.
So his wife, Tommy, we have a Bible study on Monday nights with a group of ladies from our Bible study class. And his wife, Tommy, told me that she wasn't able to. So we only had a very limited number of books. So she told me that she wasn't going to need her book. And then we had a visitor in class on Sunday. And I said, you know, why don't you come? I happen to have an extra book. So she showed up. But what was so neat was her son is at A&M, where another lady in the Bible study has a son at A&M, and she was talking about how he's not really plugged into church, but he loves music. And the lady with the older son, her son volunteers at a church and does the music boards at the church. So now they've been connected, and her son will be going to church at A&M because of that connection through the Bible study. But I think that prompting of, you know, I have a book, you can come, and then she came, and then and God just worked that out in such a neat way that they were able to actually explore and learn that about each other. So, I mean, that to me is all prompting of the conversation and, you know, Tommy not needing the book and all of those things supposedly coincidentally fitting together. I think all of that is the Holy Spirit prompting people to do things that they might not understand. Why?
Just the journey. And, of course, now what we have to look at is that for somebody who does not believe, as we do, would claim that to be what? Coincidence. Because that's where the logic mind goes. Well, you know, you're making, well, yeah, you're just drawing dots and you're connecting things along these lines. And the problem we have is that Satan uses, not necessarily like a waterfall to knock us off course or to put blinders in front of us. It's nudges. It's little things that come along. But what happens when we claim that and we say, when we claim that, we are lifting, we're actually lifting the Holy Spirit up. We are interacting with Him. Anytime we say that, yes, that is you working, we're acknowledging. The best way of putting it is this, is if I want a relationship with you, now I'm married, so I don't mean this, but if I want a relationship with you, okay, if I want a relationship with you, but I never acknowledge you, Or if we're in a room together and you're over there and I'm over here, remember that, guys, when we were in our younger days, and we were not even courting, it was before courting days, but you know, there's a young thing over there and that we might have affections for, maybe it's just me, I don't know, but you have affections for or whatever, and it's like I wanted her to know how much I was enthralled with her. But I would never go and talk to her. And it's really funny because I've run into friends from high school, you know, in reunions and stuff, and when we connect, whatever, I found out later on how they had crushes, as we called it, on me. And I'm going, I missed my opportunity. If only I'd known, man, I'd have been one of those stud guys, that's, you know. But it's the same way. It's the same way that God wants a relationship with us, and it really depends upon our ability and our willingness to acknowledge His presence in our life. What happened, I was talking to my cousin Johnny. Johnny is a decorated Vietnam War veteran. Had, I think, two different tours. Was actually dropped behind enemy lines. Would take true American troops behind enemy lines, and then they would be dropped by enemy, and he would work his way back out to go get another group to take him back. It's beyond my comprehension of what that kind of life is like. All right? Johnny told me, he says, Mike, he said, what you have to understand is that if there's a soldier in a foxhole, you know, they're talking to God a lot. He said, there's not many atheists that are in foxholes when there's guns going off. He said, that's just the way it is. But that's the big stuff. But the question is how much do we recognize His presence in the little things that takes place? And so what happens is we're looking at the realness of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to look at some scripture verses here. Does everybody have a handout? Bill, can you help over here? We've got some. Should have plenty to go around. I want to start off by looking at this verse, Psalm 81:13. When we look at Psalm 81, it specifically points out we have a God who has been leading the Israelites and leading the Israelites through basically through the exile from Egypt, going through difficult times, going through all these challenges, right? And God is doing all this stuff for him. He's providing for him. I mean, he provided manna. He provided water. He provided protection from an escape standpoint. And look at what Psalm 81 says. If only my people would do what? If they would listen to me. Oh, Israel, would you just follow my ways? And it's like the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life is God. Right? It's the indwelling. That's when you look at the Trinity. You have God the Father, God the Son. The Holy Spirit is not a subset of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is an equal component, an equal aspect of God with just as much power, just as much authority. It's God's presence here on earth today. And he goes, oh, God, if you just listen to me. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus as a dove. We talked about this last week, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a bodily form, like a dove. This is when Jesus was being baptized. And it's important for us, and we'll say this each week to make sure that we understand what happens when we become believers in Christ and we're given the gift of the Holy Spirit and dwelling inside of us. It's the same Holy Spirit that descended upon Jesus Christ like a dove is the same Holy Spirit that descends upon us, that descends upon you. The exact same one. And so with all that, the same power, the same guidance. If you look at this, John 16:13, it says, truth, he comes in truth. He will guide you into all truth. He will speak to us, not telling us falsehoods. He will speak to us in truth. You know that little voice that's inside of us? Okay, we hear this voice that speak to us. How many people are really comfortable speaking in public? How many people would really come with that? Let me come up here and do this. Matter of fact, fill this room with 200 people and let me stand up and do what you're doing. How many people, got a couple of us would do it, but most of us would not. I love Nicole's going, Greg, raise your hand, Greg, you do that. Maybe not. Here's the problem. Okay, Nicole ratted her husband out, Greg. Okay, I've had a chance to get to know Greg over the last, year and a half or so when he's come and played with us. Greg could stand up here, and he could speak the truth. All right? The problem is there's a voice that goes inside, not just Greg. I'm using Greg's in my head. You have to understand that I'm 22 years old, and I used to have to get up in front of a group of about 12 people every morning. Right, and lead a morning meeting, and just kind of a sales meeting, kind of a young supervisor. I'm 22 years old, and the meeting starts at 8:30. At 8:15 every morning, I am in the bathroom, getting sick, to get up and speak in front of 12 people, because I had this voice inside of my head, going, "You can't do this. They're going to think you're stupid. They're not going to." This is that little voice that we have that goes off whenever we're asked to speak in public. That voice is not truth. The problem is we have to hear God's voice in a way and be able to discern between the falseness that comes at us and the truth, because the Holy Spirit will only speak truth to us. But we need help in being able to discern and separate. I needed help. And what happened, people were put into my life over a period of time to try to bend that truth and move it around a little bit for me. I had two guys in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I joined this Toastmasters Club because I was told by the vice president of the company, if you want to go anywhere in our organization, you need to learn to speak in front of people. I told 300 people that. And I found out later on I was the only one who went out and did what he said, which was go join Toastmasters. Go practice. Go get better at it. And I did. And I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and there's two guys. There's Rex Davenport and what's the other guy's name? He'll come back to me later on. All right. But in Tulsa, Oklahoma, this little bitty group of about 13 people got together. Two guys at the table had gone on to the Toastmasters International finalists of the top 8 speakers in the world. And they're sitting in front of me as I'm speaking. I had no idea what the ramification, what the magnitude was. And after that was over with, they both came out and said, if you would spend time focusing on this, you will not believe how good you can be. And I looked at them, and I just, they were speaking truth because it was a gift that God was starting to give me. But I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it for years. You know, I didn't hear it until recently, until friends of mine who started trying to get me by the throat and said, you need to speak more for him. You know, and I've got friends that hold me up that won't let me back down from speaking for him and own that. That's truth. Each and every one of you have a gift. You've got a talent. You have stuff that God's doing. But whenever you get to a sense of insecurity, you got to ask yourself the question, who's speaking to me right now? And if you are speaking, if you are feeling less than, if you're feeling pushed aside, if you're feeling run down, whose voice are you hearing? It is not the Holy Spirit. It's not truth. Ezekiel in the Old Testament comes out, and he spoke to me. And look at this, in the Old Testament, the Spirit entered me. Just like the Holy Spirit abides inside of us and enters us. And that's a hard concept for us to get our arms around. And set me on my feet, and I listened to the one who was speaking to me. You see, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Now, I want to stop here for just a second. I want to talk about what does that sound like? And what does it sound like? And I, one of the reasons I fell in love with this church so early on was because of Pastor Greg. And my guess is most of us in this room are here for the exact same reason. But that man is anointed. Now, when he came here, he was a boy, the way he says it. He wasn't a man. He was a boy when he showed up here. You know, Pastor Bisogno shared that they just kind of waited until he could grow up to where he could come in here and come here. You know, waited for him or whatever. But it's his, he said earlier, because when I got here, I felt very insecure in my knowledge because I hadn't spent any time studying the Bible. You know, I'd sat in a pew, in a church pew, and listened to a priest or a pastor tell me what it was, but I hadn't spent any time studying. And so I'd hear these Bible words and Christian words, and I didn't understand what they meant. You know, glorification and sanctification. I mean, what does all this stuff mean? It's like foreign language to me. Well, I want to take that same concept because when the first time I heard, Nicole, God speaks to you, right? What does that mean? When, for those of you who are comfortable, when you hear God speak to you, I mean, do you hear a voice like Oprah Winfrey talking to you or something like that? So what do you hear? This is the class participation part. So, Jared.
First, I think it's a feeling. Then I think it's my mind talking to me. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not my mind or a feeling, but it is, you know, the Lord saying, do this, do that.
Mm-hmm. You know, something coming. Yeah, okay. All right, so there's something that's going on. What else? Yes, when Nicole is saying there's a sense of peace whenever you're struggling with something. Something's off and you just whatever. But all of a sudden, you've made a decision. There's a peace that comes from it. That peace that you experience is God speaking to you.
Maybe like a moment of clarity.
Moment of clarity. Okay, when you're kind of running off. See, what happens is someone who doesn't believe on this subject, well, that's just us working our mind through stuff. But what happens is the Holy Spirit, Scripture says, he brings clarity to us in times of uncertainty. But the only way he does that is if we look for him, we reach to him, and we acknowledge him. It's important for us to do that. That's where the relationship comes from. This started years back. I was taking a course at the College of Biblical Studies, and there was talking about prayer, and I never forget that one of the guys we were reading about, he started his day, and I used to have his prayer on my table, but before he'd swing his feet off the side of the bed, and before his feet touched the floor every morning, he would say this prayer. He would pray to God saying, this is your day. Do with me what you will. Show me your will this day. Help me to experience you this day. And I started doing that. And, you know, which is really kind of interesting because I've got, you know, I don't know if y'all have got one of those real high poster beds or whatever. So it's one of the few times my feet, well, I had 6'4", my feet actually dangle off the edge of the bed when I'm sitting on it. It's kind of cool. So I'm sitting and my feet are dangling off the edge of the bed. But what's interesting is when I start that, when I stop, and I don't just flip my feet on the side, but okay, Lord, it's your day, I'm off and running. But I stop and I stay there for a few minutes. And I just sit there. There's a sense of connection that I get. Or a better way, another way of saying, the days that I forget to do it because I get busy or something and I'm running behind, my day just doesn't get started quite the same way. And I found that the more that I do it, the more I long to do it, the more I'm comfortable doing it, the longer I will do it. One of the commentators I read one time that talked about spending times on your knee. He would spend times on his knees every day for 1 hour. And I went, my gosh, I'm taking a course on prayer. I'm going to spend 1 hour on my knees. I'm going to do that. Anybody ever try that lately? All right. I think I made about 6.5 minutes. Okay, and I started watching my watch, going, "Ooh, it's going to be, ooh." All right. And I got to about 15 minutes, and my little legs just gave up. And the next day, I came out, and I got to 17, and then in about a month, I found myself at 45 to 48 minutes. And again, it wasn't intent on, it was, you'd float in, flow, but it was being able to stay there, right? But that comes from not practice. It comes from interacting with the Holy Spirit, you know, in a real time basis. It's speaking to Him and stopping and asking Him to speak to you. So how does it sound like when the Holy Spirit speaks to us? I love this. This is the very first scripture verse that I learned. Well, the second one. The first one I learned was, and Jesus wept. I got so excited because I didn't grow up in a Bible quoting family. I mean, we didn't learn scriptures. My wife, Tommy, grew up in a Bible church, and she's a baby child out in Marble Falls, Texas. And so she got early on scripture verses. And so I was really excited one day when I went to her, I said, I've learned my first Bible verse. And she said, what's that? I said, and Jesus cried. She says, it's Jesus wept. I went, I had to go back to the drawing board. This was number two. This is Isaiah 30:21. Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is my way, walk in it. See, It's whether we turn to the right or the left, when we're listening for His voice, He'll speak to us in profound ways, and we will hear it. But we have to be listening for it. All right. Now, what do we need to do in order to listen to His voice? Give me three things that we got to make sure. If we want to hear His voice, what do we have to do? Got to stop. You know, Canaan says, we got to stop, right? You know, they live a very busy life. They're busy in rodeo stuff and things, and they got kids and grandkids, just stuff, right? And how many people just have a really laid-back life and really don't have anything to do? Anybody in here? Just kind of checking to see. I think that's illegal in the city of Houston personally, right? That's called life. That's where we are. But you know what's interesting? I saw the statistic, and you'll appreciate this because you like numbers, the human brain, when we read at about 400 words a minute. That's the speed that the average, you know, now some people read a little bit slower, a little bit faster, but it's about 400 words a minute. Do you know how fast that George Washington's era read, the speed that they read at? 400 words a minute. See, with all this technology, all this stuff going at us, it hasn't helped us to process things at a faster rate of speed. But what happens is we have more stuff coming at us at a faster rate of speed. My daughter Nikki is a vet McAllen, Texas. And I just graduated from Texas A&M in May, and so she's now Dr. Nikki. And I look at the stuff that she gets exposed to, because when she and I are standing next to each other and I'll ask her a question, she doesn't have it in her head. She just grabs her phone and goes, boom, and the answer's right in front of her. Right? Her ability to go and get information is just frightening. Mm-hmm. Our ability to comprehend information hasn't sped up. So what happens is the challenge we have to slow ourselves down when it comes to interacting with God. So if you're looking at your life at work and you're running really busily, you need to find some times to, and this is, the reason I hate teaching, right? And I really do, because in order to teach, you have to be a student. And God has a tendency all week long to kind of try to teach me stuff to get me ready for Wednesday night and Sunday morning. And as I was looking at this stuff, it's like he asked me yesterday, right? And we had this conversation. He said, Mike, I said, yes, God, what do you want? He said, Mike, let me kind of talk to you for a minute. Something along those lines. But I got this overwhelming sense. I said, what do you do during the daytime to step away from your busyness and just go spend 10 or 15 minutes? You know, today I was just with I'm having to leave the office, go home. And I have all this stuff going. I'm on the telephone with the client. I'm waiting for, and it's like my other phone's ringing over here because I'm waiting for Centerpoint to come back. They said they're going to come and make me warm, and they're not calling. In the middle of this, I've got 2 5-pound Pomeranians, and they're dancing around my feet, okay? You know, I'm trying to chase them off, and I think my wife coming in is going to help out. That just gets the dogs more hyperactive. They ring to her, running back here, and it's like, it was just chaos until I just stopped when I finished, and I took, about 5 minutes, and I just went and sat at my counter, and I looked at some stuff, and I just slowed down, and I read. Because he's trying to challenge Mike to say, in the middle of all your busyness, I'm not going to slow you down. You're going to have to choose to do that on your own. You're going to have to choose to do that on your own. In your life, where do you need to slow down? Yes?
For me, I kind of find it to be opposite. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm like doing something else, I mean, I could just be in the car listening to music, and all of a sudden I'll get like some inclination from mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit. So I'm like, I don't know. It's like when I'm sitting, like listening, wanting to hear something, there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when I'm in the busyness that I'm actually like, you know, stop and do this, or you know, stop and call this person.
Yeah. What? What's your name again? I'm sorry.
Edmund.
Okay, what Edmund's talking about here is we have, you know, is what I was saying wrong and hers right? Is what she's saying wrong and what I'm saying right? All right, you have two different things going. She's saying that I'm saying we need to get ourselves to slow down and stop to be aware. She goes, but if I slow down and stop, I don't hear anything. But when I stay busy, when I'm busy, I hear stuff. All right, what's the answer to this? I'm going to go over here. They're going to talk to you for a second. What's the answer to this?
The Lord knows you. He knows how to get.
Mm-hmm. Knows they get your attention. What are you going to say?
Or is this the same thing?
What happens, what I'm hearing from this is we have a very personal God. Right? We have a very personal God, number one. Number two is what Edme is also saying is what you do is in the middle of your busyness, the reason why you're able to respond to him is you're acknowledging he's there and you're responding to him. Now, what happens is we get so busy sometimes we don't respond because we can't hear. In writing, if you're a writer, there's something called the muse, M-U-S-E. All right? It comes from Greek mythology days, but the muse would inspire people. So, you know, Michelangelo had his muse. And there's kind of a true statement that when the muse gives you something, you need to go write it down. Because what happens, but I get these great thoughts, it inspires me to want to go do something like for this Bible study, and well, the one I'm working on Sunday, I was listening to Chuck Swindoll, and he was making me think of all these things. I'm listening to him processing all this, and I had to get my phone because I was looking on the radio, and I'm now quoting text messages to me to kind of capture the thoughts that are going in my head, because I knew if I didn't do that, the muse would take those thoughts away from me, and I'd lose it. What I'm hearing you say is that from In the middle of my activity, in the middle of what I'm doing, right, I can hear God. I can feel his presence. I can feel his prompting. The challenge we have is when we're quiet, for me, is that if I am trying to listen to him and I'm trying to force something, if I'm trying to get pious, right, it's hard for me to hear him. And that may be something we tell you, that when we get quiet, we slow down or whatever, if we're working too hard at it. Yeah. My message out of this is, if it's working for you, go with it. Right? But I do challenge you also is that Scripture talks about the Sabbath for a purpose, is we do need to recharge. We do need to create that space. Be still and know. Yeah. Be still. Be still and know that I'm God. So that's just something you have to kind of make some decisions on with what you're talking about. Is there more space that I need to kind of create to simply be still and feel His presence even more so? Right? So what's the challenge we have in hearing the Holy Spirit? What's the challenge? What's the challenge you have of being able to hear Him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what's stopping? When I say challenge, I mean it's like, what's a barrier, a blocker? What things pop up that makes it maybe sometimes difficult?
Being too focused on earthly things.
Being too focused on earthly things, okay? Like the Astros. I loved it. Who was here on church on Sunday? Did anybody go out front with a camera and videotape the line going out the door, around the corner, and down the side of the street? I had to come and teach a class. I wanted to so bad. Because I wanted to be able to say, Houston Baptist, we got our priorities straight, baby. You know, my first thought was, Pastor Greg must be having a heck of a message. They're giving out tickets to come in here today or something, all right? But what happens is, what are some earthly things that can kind of get in the way of us being able to hear the Holy Spirit? I want to kind of put some context around that.
That's what something you said a while ago about the enemy.
The enemy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right, very much so. Yeah. What did I hear over here? TV. Now tell me why, because I like TV. There's so much on it. That's garbage. A couple of things with it, for me personally. I mean, I still remember when I first came here, when the TV show 24 was on. And Pastor Greg, I didn't know him, right? And hadn't been gone here very long. He got up. Anybody, Keith or son, was one of these CIA kind of spy kind of stuff, and it was an attack. And it was like, he gets up and says he had to stop watching 24. And he said, I had to stop watching 24 because he was starting to obsess about it. And he said he would plan a schedule. Come home at night, you watch too much 24. And so about a month later, my wife was sick one weekend, and we're trying to figure out what to do. And we said, I wonder what that 24 show that Pastor Greg was talking about. And Blockbuster's across the street from our house, literally, come out the driveway, it's right there next to Kroger's. And I said, I'm going to run over and get us those three little discs you can get from Blockbuster. And we'll watch a couple of them. We watched 18 episodes in 3 days. We binged on that bad boy. And we could, I mean, it's like, we're just running back and forth. I mean, it's crazy, you know? Yeah, we did. And what happens is, TV is not bad, except that it has a tendency to distract us and fill more time and fill more space, or it allows stuff to come into our house. My wife and I are watching a television show, one of these, you know, whodunit kind of deal the other night, and about halfway through the show, she looked at me, and we had to make a decision on whether or not we wanted to continue watching that show. It wasn't anything inappropriate, but there was just a darkness to it. And there were some shows that we literally stopped watching because I told her, I feel like we're bringing darkness into our house. And that's, you know, when we do that, it makes it difficult for us to hear the Holy Spirit. Now, He was trying to speak to us and ask, you know, and so that's this dialogue. There's a sensitivity that takes place along those lines. It's very, very important. Sometimes it's this. The challenge of the Holy Spirit, they don't ask because they desire truth. And this is, we're talking about somebody else, nobody in this room. Because they want their way. They want control. Anybody ever run into that? You're afraid to ask because you're afraid the answer is going to be no. You know, you don't want to go to that space because if I go there, I'm going to give Him control over which direction I'm going and what I'm doing. Why do we doubt that He speaks to us? Some people have claimed to hear the Holy Spirit when He really didn't speak to them. I was working with a youth group, and I was, I think it was 21, 22 years old, something like that. And we were taking our kids to Six Flags. You know, it was for Christian Youth Night. We were a big rally. I mean, just thousands and thousands of kids coming together. And there was a guy who was with his youth group, and he was talking to these young kids about this tall, and he was encouraging them to speak in tongues, you know, and he starts babbling and stuff or what have you. Now, I'm not sharing this with you for a discussion on speaking in tongues or not speaking in tongues. I'm saying that for somebody who was not founded as scriptural as I needed to, I'm watching this take place and watching this young man who's a college-age guy, and he's talking to these young boys, and he is just trying to say, just to encourage them just to be free and to speak. And and I'm going, that's not real, I mean, for me. And so what happens is it creates a doubt in my mind. Is the Holy Spirit real? Because I'm watching something that takes place that isn't biblically based in my mind. Some people, out of being afraid of hearing correctly, refuse to hear anything at all. What does that say to you? What's the problem we have? Ooh, I like that little microphone. That's right. That's the Holy Spirit. Some people, out of being afraid of hearing correctly, refuse to hear anything at all. It's not the answer that they're looking for. Yeah. And another way of flipping that around is that I'm afraid. I don't know if it's right. I don't know if I'm hearing correctly. I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm understanding. And so, because of that, instead of trying to understand, what they would rather do is say, "I'm just not going to hear." You know, it's like I don't speak French. You know, my mother and father spoke French before they spoke English. And when I'm with people who speak French, especially when I was in high school, I took French classes, and what I found is since I couldn't understand, I didn't want to listen. And so I go to France with some friends on this foreign study league tour, and we get lost, and I have to go into a little camera shop and ask for directions. And now I'm listening intently because my French class, where I had to learn to compete by telling this dramatic reading of a story in French about a giant in a village. And I still remember he had to go right or left, a droite or gauche, you know, this way, that way, par-ci, par-là. Now, I haven't thought of those words since I was a senior in high school. It's the wildest thing. I can't believe I had recall like this. My sister Genevieve would be so proud of me right now. But what happened is that I'm listening intently as they're trying to explain to me for the words right or left, this way, that way, because I had, and what happens was I could actually understand a little bit what was going on, but I leaned into her, the lady who was trying to explain to me directions, as opposed to being afraid of, well, I don't understand, so I'm not even going to ask. Does that make sense? And so what happens is we have to, when we're looking for the Holy Spirit to speak to us, we have to be very careful about this, because we don't understand all this work doesn't mean that we shouldn't be trying to reach out. When do we have the most difficulty in hearing the Holy Spirit? 2017, early part of the year, the price of oil was selling for what? It was down, early 17, it sunk all the way down to 40s or something like that. You know, I think it's actually starting to rebound because 16 had butted down. In other words, the oil industry was pretty flat. And then Harvey comes flying around in November. And then for me, 2017 was kind of a challenging year. My wife had a heart attack in August. Minor heart attack, didn't damage the heart muscle, but it just pretty rough time for us for a couple of weeks while we're trying to figure out what's going on. While she's having a heart attack, her sister Elizabeth, who's much, much older than she is, comes down with congestive heart failure. At her age, was not a good thing to have. We knew that that meant the end was in sight, and so now she's trying to guide her through that process. As she's gone through that process, I slip and fall in the front yard of my house and end up landing on the street trying to save my dog from getting run over. And the good news is I know y'all are worrying about the dog. You're not worrying about me. It's okay. But I slipped and fell and landed on my head and broke both of my arms, my right arm and my left arm. 4 days later, ended up in the hospital again with massive food poisoning. This is all within 45. 2017 was not a, was pretty rough for us. And the challenge we have in that process is with all the stuff going on, do you hear God's voice speaking to you in the middle of all that? And so what I want to do is, I've asked a couple of friends of mine to come in and share something with you. You know, Jonathan and Melanie Katzen. And the reason I asked them to come and share is that, one is because I like them. But the second is that, how many people, homes, anybody's home was flooded by Harvey in here? Okay? Anybody else? All right. Then you will relate to the story. There's a lot of people around. Jonathan and Melanie are two people who really work at hearing God's voice in their life. And I asked them to just kind of share a little bit about their story and about kind of what to help us understand what it means and sort of put context about what we're sharing along those lines. So if you will, did y'all decide if you want to stand or sit?
Sit.
Okay. Yep.
I get to sit and you get to stick it.
No, I'm going to get the other chair for him.
He's better at speaking without notes. I am not as good at speaking without notes, so clearly we're different. You can stand next to me. Okay. I'm going to let him start. And so Jonathan and I have been married almost 6 years, but I brought in two teenage girls, which any of you that have teenage girls can appreciate. And he did not have children, hadn't been married, so this was quite an interesting thing. But the girls and I moved into his home, and we tried for years to try to make it a home that felt like all of ours. And it was hard because he'd been there for about 7 years before we moved in. So we tried that for several years, and I kept telling him, I really feel like we would benefit from a home of our own, a home that we would all have a place and that we'd all have a say in being a part of. So he had his own thoughts. I'm going to let him share those.
Let's go back and talk about being 50 years old and getting married with a wife and two kids. Let's go back there and five dogs, okay? That's an interesting story. You know what Mike was saying, the Holy Spirit speaks very, very clearly to us each and every day. The challenge I had was I wasn't listening very well. And being Jewish, it was really tough because sometimes I've got to get hit on the side of the head with a 2x4 to understand what I'm being told. And when we got married, as Melanie mentioned, she thought it would be a good idea if we just go ahead and get a house of our own. And logically, it made no sense because we lived in a very nice house, and I told her, you can do whatever you'd like to the house. And she did a lot of things to the house. And then she said, great, it's fixed up, let's move. Well, as time progressed, I was really resistant to the idea until I really started spending time with the Lord, asking him, what should I do? And his response was, you should have listened to your wife 2-3 years ago. So anyway, we started looking for a house earnestly, and we found a home that was within our budget, and it was quite nice. Actually, it was much larger than what we currently had, but we all know how real estate works here in Houston. So finding a home that we found, and if I miss something, you just let me know. Because y'all, honestly, for me, the last 4 months has been quite a whirlwind, so I may forget some of these things. We found a home that we both liked and were comfortable with, and we went ahead and purchased that home after very little negotiation with the sellers. It was only on the market for 2 days, and generally when that happens, one does not negotiate because it's a new listing, but they did, and we were able to get the house. Oddly enough, it was on a street called King's Ransom Court. After her and I putting a great deal of prayer into it, and we decided that's where the Lord wanted us to be. And after we purchased the house, this was, I believe, the end of July, in So for several weeks, we had a lot of work done to the house. And we promptly gave our home to the Lord because we wanted it to be a place that is a house full of love for folks to come. I work out of the house. I'm in ministry. And Molly wanted to have a nice home to just love on people with our Bible study class, come by once a month. It's just a nice place of fellowship. So we moved in at the end of August. Was it August? End of July? No, we closed at the end of July. We
moved in at the end of July.
Was that what it was?
Just say yes.
I thought we closed in, it was, okay. Y'all, that's why she's here. Anyway, several weeks later, the rain came, and we had not fully unpacked nor anything else. I believe it was on the 24th the rain started. On the 25th, on my birthday, that was my birthday present. So shortly thereafter, I was looking to stay in the house. I said, "Would you like to leave?" She said, "Let's just, you know, stay for a while," which we did. What?
So when the rain started Friday night, it was his birthday, and the restaurant that we had dinner at is no longer there. But when the rain started on Friday night, we have a lake behind our house that was very low. And if you had asked us that night that we would be sitting here talking about a flooded home, we would have said, "There's no way. It's almost impossible." And we had just bought the house. The people told us they made it through Allison. They made it through Memorial Day. They made it through tax day. They said, "Don't worry. You should be fine," right? And that's what we thought. So when the rain started Friday, we're checking on our family that we thought were in more flood-prone areas, Sugar Land, Lake Jackson, Meyerland, and so we were worried about all of them to make sure that they were okay and that they were safe. And then we also had some people in our neighborhood that we had met that we knew were at risk because they had older people in their home or the young children with a mom, and then somebody who had just had surgery. So we were trying to keep tabs on everyone, but we never, you know, I mean, like the last thing we thought was that we were going to be impacted. And before that, we had just moved in, so we had taken our daughter to college, had spent most of that time after we moved in doing that, and we still hadn't sold the other house. So Jonathan, a week before the floods came, said, "Why don't we get some of the stuff out of that home?" And I said, "Well, all I want to get out of that house is our dining room table." And we didn't know it then, but that would be used to actually support some of the furniture in our house so that we didn't lose completely everything. So even back then, I mean, the Lord was speaking to me to say, "Don't bring everything." And had we brought everything over, we wouldn't have had any room to move things upstairs because a lot of that furniture was for the upstairs. And that's where most of our things ended up and where we ended up living for a while. But I think if you want to talk about the safe deposit box, too.
Oh, yeah, Molly was woken up one evening. I was woken up one night. There was a safety deposit box that I had that I forgot about. Haven't thought about it, you know, in a year plus. The Lord reminded me of it, and he said, "Go get everything out of it tomorrow." Well, I went over to take everything out of it. Didn't have much in it at all, but it was on the very lower racks of the bank, and that bank got 4 feet of water in it, and I was one of the safety deposit boxes that was flooded out. So,
two what?
There were two boxes that flooded.
Was it total of two?
His was one of them.
So, you know, what we try to do was just to listen throughout all of this. I do remember asking God, "Why are you flooding your house if we gave you this house?" And the only response I got, "Because it's my house." So, we can look at things and we could have looked at the situation and be despondent about all of it with what occurred, but what we try to do is just press into the Lord and pray throughout this whole situation. When the Lord speaks about joy being a fruit of the Spirit, that's something that comes from Him, not from us. And I believe through the situation, we took a joyous approach to it, realizing that it's only temporary. We were talking earlier about earthly things. Everything was earthly, but we gained so much more with our relationship with each other and with the Lord by pressing in and trusting Him.
Real quick, so Monday night was when I think the rain started to slow down, and that's when people thought they were, you know, you either flooded or you didn't, is kind of what we were thinking at that point. But Monday night, 3 a.m., I like my sleep. I don't wake up for very much, but I felt very, very strongly the Lord saying, move up, move up. And so we started moving as much as we could up. 3 o'clock in the morning, Jonathan and I are moving rugs, clothes, everything that was on the floor. We started to move up higher. And I didn't know why, because at that point, the water's still not in our backyard. So we're thinking, okay, we're doing all of this, which is fine, but I don't think it's going to be necessary, is what Jonathan and I were both thinking. We're like, we'll do it, though, because we wanted to be obedient. So we saved as much as we could that night. And then even in the morning, we woke up, and there was nothing. Until about 7 a.m. is when water started coming. And water doesn't come through doors. You guys know this now. Water comes through wherever it can come through. So it comes through, it comes through faucets. It comes through walls. It comes through all drains, kinds of things, everywhere. Drains everywhere. But we prayed as the water's coming into our home. We prayed, and Jonathan said earnestly, Lord, let us know, right? Let us know if you want us to stay or if you want us to go. So we go out on the balcony, and there's boats coming into the neighborhood. There's helicopters flying over. If there are boats and helicopters in your neighborhood, you're not okay. Like, that's not a sign. But Jonathan said, I'm going to make a sign for the helicopters. And I said, what is it going to say? He said, it's going to say, we're okay. And I was like, this probably isn't okay. Like, this is not where we want to stay. So we walk out on the balcony, and there's a man in a boat. We found out he's with the Cajun Navy, which Mike will appreciate. And he says, do you know Lisa Slattery? And we said, yes. And she goes, we're here to get you. And so I'm thinking, this is an answer to prayer. Jonathan says, well, no, we're not going to leave yet. So we stayed a little while longer, and then thankfully he came back, and he was able to get us out. We had a lot of friends asking us if we, you know, if we could get over to them, we could stay with them. We had friends telling us that they would love for us to come stay. That wasn't something that we could hear. We could hear God speaking to us, and like we could see the man trying to save us. But our inclination was, we have nowhere to go. We've never been in a situation where we didn't have a place to be. And so our thought was, we'll just stay here as long as we can. But as you know, it's not safe to stay in a home where there's water rising. So I'll let him speak a little bit about that and then the reconstruction.
So after, actually, I had no problem with staying. I figured, you know, we had crackers and everything else. But it gets pretty bad when you have airboats again in your neighborhood. It just did not work. So after spending some time at a friend's house for a week or so, we began the reconstruction once the water went down. And in Houston, there was a shortage of not only good workers, but also materials. But I was asking the Lord what we should do as far as getting the proper contractors, if he would just flat send them, which he did. And after several months, our house is virtually, it's just about through, one of the few houses in the neighborhood. And we were able to send the contractors also to some of our neighbors because they had bad contractors go. Now, throughout all this, I was able to lead one of the contractors to the Lord. And from my perspective, everything we went through with all the many many lessons the Lord taught both Molly and I, one of the greatest things was we were able to lead someone to salvation. So that was very positive. We don't know where that's going to end up. But throughout all this, we just pressed into the Lord, just listening. And we discussed several situations that were not making much sense, but we both had the same impression, and that's exactly what we did. And so far, it's turned out okay. So far, he's got a great record of taking care of us.
Yeah. Hang on a second. Oh, go ahead. Yeah. Thank you. I want to kind of amplify one thing in here, because it's really important for me when I heard their story. Jonathan and I have run together for a couple of years now, and I've gotten to know each other's hearts very well. And his story, especially for us men, it's true for women also, is very, very important in that he, as the protector of his home and his family, felt if he could stay in his house, I can protect him. I can't I don't have any place to take her. And his thought, as you shared with me, the thought of taking her to a shelter was like beyond his, I can't take her to a shelter. It was just eating him up. And I asked him, I said, when it was all over with, and he's moving, you know, reconstruction his house, I said, Jonathan, I said, you said you had nowhere to go. Did you not hear whenever I said, I've got a second floor of my house that you can come and be in? And his answer was, no, he didn't ignore me. You know, he didn't hear it. And to me, it screams so loudly at me that a lot of times in my walk, when God is trying to speak and trying to help and trying to interact, he's there. And what happens is he puts people in our lives. But a lot of times, it's almost like, it's not that we're not choosing it here. We have to pray about that. And eventually, you know, David came in and said, would you come and stay with us? And he heard and he went out. And that's a huge testament. Huge testament. Now, we're going to do this real quickly. What did you hear about their story? What stood out to you about where the Holy Spirit was speaking to them? What did you hear? In what situation? Canaan? Yeah, and a lot of times when you said they listen, a lot of times they weren't sitting near the window going, Lord, you know, it wasn't that. Molly was woken up at 3 a.m. It wasn't like she heard this, Molly, go get your dresses. I mean, it wasn't that, but there's just a sense of, you know where that comes from? It comes from them spending a lot of time in prayer whenever they're not in strife. See, when we're in strife, we have a tendency to drop on our knees real quick. But it's those times when we're not in strife, it's the consistency in their walk and their reach that makes us receptive to being able to hear and for God to go in, and because that's where the relationship is coming from. Right? It's for Jonathan to be able to make the decisions he did in choosing the right. It's not like one day he said, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to just pick some right contractors. I think I'm going to pray about that today. It was from all the consistency in doing that. You know, and you just heard a little bit about his walk. He referred to himself as being Jewish or whatever in his early life. He's one of the stoutest Christians that you'll see walking on the face of the earth right now. He's one of those people who has lived the Old and the New Testament. It's very powerful in his walk, and he uses that to really reach out and do amazing work with people.
Only God can put together a Jewish man and a Hindu woman in a Baptist church.
Ain't that the Holy Spirit talking to you?
That's for another day.
Yeah, but thank you. That's right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I wanted to spend a couple minutes because these are just two normal average people that don't walk around promoting themselves. But if you look at the journey, look at what, and I'm sure you've got similar stories of what you did in with what you've dealt with. Give us a couple, please. So you gave birth to a 13-year-old boy.
So you understand.
You know, so there's that. Then there's the similarities of preparing for the storm and the home that we're in. There's a pond behind it.
Yes.
And we had experience. We're both from the fire service. We had experience with flooding in the area. We live in Kingwood.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's the same situation. Like Conroe was opened up the gates in Kingwood, so it wasn't the rain; it was the watershed, just like they live up in Twin Lakes, and it was the dam, the whole dam area that comes into play.
Yeah. And it's just saying, show us where we need to be.
Yeah.
No, and just and sitting up there watching the water come in, you know, we were saying to each other, okay, we need to prioritize how we're going to navigate this because we've never done this. And a lot of it was for us to just sit and be quiet and ask the Lord to just teach us a number of things throughout this journey because it's going to be a long journey.
Yeah. Take a breath. It's okay.
That we've learned through this mostly is just being patient. We both retired from the fire service from the city of Houston, and you know something happens and we respond and we fix it. And that was not the case for this. You know, we had to wait, and there's been a lot of good things that have happened though for us through the waiting.
There's a richness that comes from that.
There is.
There's a richness.
We were not thinking clearly in the beginning. If we would have had to make a lot of decisions that we're having to make now, we would have made bad decisions.
Made decisions. But it's waiting. There's patience. It's waiting. It's this blurriness, this thing about where we have to be in action. And what happens a lot of times when we have to go into action, what he's really asking us to do is just slow down and give it to me. All right? I need to go write that down when I get home tonight because I think he's just talking to me about some stuff right now. Jared?
Well, like you mentioned, if Debbie doesn't mind that through the church, he found a family that he took in to live with her during this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you brought somebody into your home. Yeah, I've got a question for you on that. So how did the Holy Spirit speak to you after you opened the door and brought the person in? I don't know you. I don't know your story, but there's something on me that says you probably experienced some things.
You know, my husband and I bought that house 35 years ago. It was a mother-in-law plant. So, you know, we had like 3 bedrooms and 2 baths, and I have 2 kitchens. I mean, it was a fully contained unit, and his mother actually came to live with us about 10 years later. So the Lord had provided this big house. My girls have grown up. My husband has passed away, and I've been able to have, you know, missionaries from England, that group that comes over used to donate, the Georgetown ladies, they stay over there. And it was just natural, you know. These people, and you know, you could tell the pastoral care what you had, and then they had the people that had the need and put us together.
Mm-hmm.
And those folks came seamlessly. And he was, you said you kind of had a hard time, you'd hear people offering. I felt he was an older gentleman, they were in their 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he had a hard time, I think, recognizing and reaching out for help because he thought he
Yeah.
You know, they were there for like 3 months and had, you know, since moved on. They still don't have their home.
Right.
Or anything, but
the Lord
seamlessly put them in, and seamlessly, you know, 3 months later they had moved on.
Right.
You know, and it was just.
There's a process. And there's a lot of times we think that there's a beginning and an end. There's not. It's just, it's an unfolding that takes place within our journey. And so whatever difficulty we're in right now, you know, maybe there's something going on at work. Maybe there's something going on at home. Maybe there's a relationship that's got something that's being rubbed. The Holy Spirit is there to guide us through that, to open doors for us to walk through. Sometimes to open doors for us to be able to see ourselves in a much different light than was what I shared with you. And I still laugh about the fact that I'm in a Baptist church teaching 2 Bible classes. When I think about old Mike, new Mike, this is just beyond my comprehension. It's mind-boggling to me that I would be given that honor and that gift to do it. But he's been preparing me for this through a process that started with, you know, a lot of things. So here's some things I want us to look at. In the midst of turmoil that we're talking about, it's hard sometimes to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So when we're in turmoil, I think one of the things we need to do is we need to get ourselves to slow down in that case. And that's the time when we're in turmoil, it's important for us not to get busy. In turmoil, we got to slow down and to be able to kind of make ourselves open to Him. And the other part is this, is asking ourselves the question. This is where we have the most difficult time hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. Is He really speaking to me? Maybe I'm alone in that. But it's like, is He speaking to Mike? You know, I'm not worth that. He's speaking to me? And the challenge you run into is that when you hear that voice going on, when that's going on in your head, it's hard to hear his voice clearly. Yes? Mm-hmm.
Of course, he will speak to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You tell everything. You surrender everything.
Mm-hmm.
He should answer whatever you
need. Yeah, but I love what she's saying here because she's using a key word. Is what she's saying is if you surrender everything, if you speak to him about everything, the more you do, the more you'll hear, right? And that's what happens is if you do it occasionally, if you do it up here on Wednesday night, okay? And then for those of you who are really, really good, come back on Sunday morning, you know, the dose of it. But if that's the only time that you're doing this, I mean, my connection is so much more stronger today. And it's not because of my teaching, but in order to teach, I have to spend a couple of days, not all day long, but hours here and there. But I'm more consistent and because I have to prepare. And the gift I've gotten out of it is that I feel a stronger sense of connection because I'm there. And I wish I had the discipline before to do it as much as I do now, but I didn't. So you guys are really my accountability partners. I got to make sure I'm prepared when I show up over here, but that helps me in my walk. And so it's that everything. It's the more you go, the more you do, the more that you are, that you say grace over a meal in the middle of a crowded restaurant, the more that you do that, no matter what the circumstances are. You know, the more that you reach out to somebody in your family that you've never prayed with before, and you said, can we pray together? That's a step out of what I'm normally comfortable with. It was a big journey for me because I didn't grow up in a praying family. But now, when I go back to Louisiana and I walk in the house before I leave and I'm ready to head back to Houston, I said, let's kind of get together. All I have to do is do like that, and everybody kind of circles around because they know we're going to get together and pray before I head back out because that's what we do. First couple of times we did that, I wish I could have shown you what it was kind of like. We're kind of standing there, kind of holding on to each other. And my dad kind of got into it the last couple of times before he passed away. We kind of got it together, and I can still picture my dad as a big old bear arms. He's just kind of wrapped around us like this. You know, that came through the everything from doing it consistently. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through Scripture. That's, and we know that. We've been told that in church. Here's where he also speaks to us. He speaks to us through experience. He speaks through the experiences that the Katzen shared with us, the experiences that you just shared with us. It's the experiences that we deal with. He will speak to us as long as we claim him in those places. If we listen to him, and when I look at it, that's got to be you. I hear you. And so with the things we experience in life, he speaks to us also through community. Right? It does. He will speak to me by myself if I lived out in Brenham, Texas, on a hill in a hut. He will speak to me. He speaks louder when we come together. He just does. He just does. And so we need to be plugged in to this type. And I'm not saying you have to come up here every Wednesday night. We'd really prefer you do that. But the community could be a gathering in your home. It could be having breakfast or lunch with somebody. Jared and I keep talking. We work like two buildings apart from each other. And for a year, we've been saying, we're going to do lunch. We're doing lunch next week. Okay, next week, all right? Because the reason I say that, because then I can check it off my list, because every time I see him, I feel guilty. So, all right?
You're okay. I'm not here next week.
Thank you. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. I love it. He also, here's the most important thing. He speaks to us through vulnerability. Whenever we're vulnerable, that's when he speaks loudest. Jonathan had to, this is a guy who's a guy's guy. I mean, he does mechanical. I wish I could do all the mechanical stuff he does. My idea of a toolbox is called a checkbook, you know. That's just the way it is. It's a guy's guy. Right? And so by God, he can fix just about anything you can put in front of him. He could not fix his home. He could not protect his wife from the floodwaters coming in until he became vulnerable. And when he became vulnerable, he was then able to steer her into the boat and move out. Is there something going on in your life that you need to go in and admit you don't have things quite as under control as you'd like to? Is there something going on that you need to just lower your arms and saying, I don't have this, Lord? Yeah, I'm teaching a class on Sunday about, and matter of fact, it'll be one of our future classes we'll have here toward the end of the series about the things that we cling on to. The Holy Spirit is trying to get our attention on the things we're clinging to, all right, to get us to let go. Only when we're vulnerable. And you got to be available. Everything. You got to be available. All right? Can't turn you back. Can't turn you back. You got to step into him. You got to step toward him. You got to announce him. You know? I'm going to read this to you in closing. This comes from the devotional that we did here called Come Boldly. It was about 2 years ago, something like that. It was a church we did that, the year-long devotional. This was, I was prepared to teach this to our Sunday morning class, and I was, you know, kind of collecting words together. My wife said, let me kind of tell you what what I read this morning, because she was on her, like, a third or a second or a third journey through this thing. And so she reads this, and it's so spot on with what we're studying right now. It says this: hearing the voice of God is something more than the study than the thoughtful study of the Word. It's more than the thoughtful study of the Word like we're doing right now. All right? There may be a study and knowledge of the Word in which there is but little real fellowship with the living God. I remember when I was taking classes at the College of Biblical Studies, I was studying. I was picking up a whole lot of head stuff at that time. But it wasn't until a series of events that took place after that that I really started understanding that it's more than the words that are in the book. Right? It's living. It's that interaction. It's by not saying the Holy Spirit, but saying the words Holy Spirit, making it personal, that it comes alive with the living God. The Holy Spirit that indwells inside of us is not some God on top of Mount Olympus. It's not something that's in the past. It's there's a living God. But there's also a reading of the Word in the very presence, and I bolded this, in the very presence of the Father, and under the leading of the Holy Spirit, in which the Word comes to us in the living power from God himself. It's like when you open the Scripture, do you realize that our study right now, I can tell I'm onto something because I start getting little things on the back of my neck. Do you realize that the study that we've been doing for the last hour and a half was in the presence of the Holy Father. When you think of that, when you walk in, this is going to be something that I'm going to remember when I walk in here, because I always think about you guys and what words do I need to put in my heart to share. What I need to add on to this, when I walk in here, we're going to be sharing his words in the presence of God. Personal. And under the leading of the Holy Spirit. Is that we'll study his word. He's going to lead us. And do we claim it? Do we say, lead us in that direction? You know, do you point us? And which the word comes to us in the living power of God himself. It is to us the very voice of the Father, a real personal fellowship with himself. And when you spend time in Scripture, you're spending time with him, that there's a relationship that's taking place with God the Father. And here's the wild part. It is the living voice of God that enters our heart when we study, when we talk, when we open ourselves up to him, right? That brings blessings and it brings strength and it awakens a response, the prompting that you were sharing about. It awakens this when we respond. When you're talking about being busy and it awakens, okay, I'm busy, but I'm responding because I'm hearing. It awakens us inside of us, all right? That reaches the heart of God again. When we respond that way, like you were talking about, when we respond to the Holy Spirit, it reaches the heart of God again, which it started from him. And he's the one who prompted us. And our response back to him comes back and reaches his heart again. It completes the circle. It completes the connection. It completes the interaction in a powerful way. But it's only when we come in and we acknowledge it. The chief thing is not to know what God has said we must do, but that it's God himself who said it to us. And when we claim the presence of the Holy Spirit, it does this. It says that, is he really speaking to me? See the question mark? The real slide should be this. He is really speaking to me. That's not bad for Bayou Boy. You know, it's not bad for Canaan. You know, it's not bad for Nicole, new mom. You know, he's speaking to you in a powerful and profound way. This is a teaser for next week. We've talked about what it's like to hear the word of God. This was put on my heart to look at what does it mean to experience the full presence of God? Because I've heard that scripture before. And I've heard that word, to experience the full presence of God. And I made a statement that when I, because I teach this class on Wednesday night, I teach the same one on Sunday. And usually I do the same thing, but because of Harvey, kind of messed us up a little bit. So when I taught this class, I had this I looked at it and said, I need to teach the full presence of God. And I went, how? What does that mean? And I went to somebody after class, and I told him, I said, I wrote this down. I'm supposed to, this is something I said, would you pray about this week? Because I'm not sure what this journey is going to be like. And next week we'll talk about what that journey was like, and we're going to look at what does it mean when we talk about experiencing the full presence of God because of this. We are here because of the realness of the Holy Spirit in our lives each and every day with every breath that we take. The question is, are you willing to acknowledge it? Or do you turn your back to it because of comfort or confusion? Heavenly Father, we close right now. We close right now, Lord. These people that you've drawn here, I've had a chance to talk to a lot before they even came here the first time because they were attracted to the message of what it meant to be the realness of the Holy Spirit, not just the Holy Spirit, but the word realness. They want realness, your presence in life. They want to understand it. They want to experience it. They want to claim it, Lord. So thank you for putting that desire in their heart, because that's why they're here. Yeah, some you've actually led back here again because apparently you want them in this room, Lord. Not because of me, because of this topic and because of you. So as we leave this week, Lord, and we go out to do our work and we go home to take care of our families, may we hear your voice while we're busy, and will you touch our hearts at the most opportune times to get us to slow down so we can hear you and experience you just that much fuller. Lord, we have a desire for not just a relationship, but we want a rich relationship with you, and it's hard for us to get our arms around that because we are human beings. How do you have a relationship with somebody that's difficult to physically see? But Lord, you manifest yourself in our lives physically by the people that you put into our space. We will see you working in our lives by people you put around us. So make us aware of that, Father. We pray for all this in your holy name. Amen.